Well, today, April 30th, is the feast day of one of the greatest popes in the history of the church. And when we look over about the 265 popes, roughly, that we've had, there's always about a handful that stand out as the greatest popes of all time. And we have, of course, Pope Leo the Great, Pope Gregory the Great, St. Pius X, and I think John Paul II. But one of the greatest popes, of course, was today's saint, St. Pius V. He was the saint of the Catholic Reformation, the pope of the Catholic Reformation. When we look at his life, we see how fascinating it was when this young, poor shepherd boy was born, who would one day become the chief shepherd of the church. At a young age, he felt a call to religious life, so he became a Dominican. At the age of 14, entered the seminary, and then, after a number of years of training, was ordained. And for 16 years, he was a professor of philosophy, a teacher of theology. He worked within the Dominican order, but then he was chosen to be a bishop, and then soon after that, to be a cardinal. And when he was elected pope, he tried to refuse, but St. Charles Borromeo, the great saint of the Catholic Reformation, helped to convince him that it was God's will. So he wept, but he accepted this burden of the papacy. He would only be pope for 6 years. It was one of the shorter reigns as a pope, but very similar to Pope Benedict. He did so much in a brief period of time. So he had two things to deal with. First was the Protestant revolt, which had just taken place about 50 years before he became pope. And so you had entire nations and countries leaving the church, becoming Lutheran or Calvinistic. And so he had to try to reconcile them and bring them back to the faith. He also had to deal with the Muslims, the Turks that were coming up from Northern Africa, invading Europe and taking nation by nation, country by country, and turning them into Islam rather than Christianity. So he had to deal with both of these issues, as well as the persecution of Catholics in England by Queen Elizabeth, whom he excommunicated. And then, so when we look at his life, we see that as Pope, he was very similar to Pope Francis, lived a life of great holiness and austerity, simplicity. And he, as Pope, would not wear his, all of the regal garments. He would wear his simple white Dominican habit. And what's interesting is that for the last almost 500 years, all the popes have continued to wear a white cassock because of Pope Pius V. He was the one who brought this about, because he wore the simple white cassock and habit of the Dominicans. So it's very interesting that somebody has joked that Pope Francis, of course, is a Jesuit, but he chose a Franciscan name and he wears a Dominican habit. So he is a universal pope, right? He's an ecumenical pope, both have the spirit of the Jesuits, the Franciscans, and the Dominicans all rolled into one pope. Now, the Council of Trent had just ended in 1563, so it was his job as pope to implement the Council of Trent, just as Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict are trying to implement the true teachings of Vatican II. So he worked at carrying out the reforms of the Council of Trent, along with Charles Borromeo. So some of the things he did was to get bishops to come back and to live within their dioceses. Many bishops had never visited their dioceses. They were living elsewhere. And so he also brought about the reform of religious orders. He established seminaries and improved the seminary education and training of priests. He held diocesan synods. He reformed the liturgy of the hours, the divine office, as we call it, the breviary. He also revamped the sacred missal that we use for saying Mass, the sacramentary. He published catechisms, And just as John Paul II established the, you know, gave us the Catholic Catechism during his reign, Pope Pius V gave us the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which would be the catechism that will be used for the next 400 years. This Pope, imagine this, he did all this in 6 years. He established CCD, the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, and that spread throughout the entire church world, trying to educate the children in the faith. He also ordered the revision of the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible to make sure we had the most accurate translation of sacred scripture. He also declared St. Thomas Aquinas a doctor of the church, and he revitalized and renewed the canon law, which had not been renewed in quite a while. Again, very similar to John Paul II, who gave us the new code of canon law in 1983. And while doing all this, he was also very careful to visit the sick and to help the poor, and was known for his prayer life and his fasting and his penance that he did. He would often do processions throughout Rome barefooted. And his, of course, greatest accomplishment was to be able to defeat the Turks, the Muslim Turks, at the Battle of Lepanto, which was the greatest naval battle up to that point in history. And he had been able to bring Spain and Venice on his side, as well as the papal fleets. So the papal fleets, as well as the Don Juan of Austria and the Catholics of Spain and Venice, rose up to meet the Turks in the Battle of Lepanto. And Pope Pius V was the one who asked all of Christendom, asked every Catholic through messages, to be able to pray the rosary every day for this battle, for this, that the Lord and the Blessed Mother would help preserve Catholicism in Europe. If this battle were lost, the Turks would have overrun Europe, and Europe would have been lost to Christianity, most likely. And so the Pope asked all of Christendom to pray the rosary, and people responded. And during this battle, which occurred on October 7th, 1571, the smaller fleets of the Christians were able to defeat a much larger, about four times larger fleet of the Muslim Turks in a decisive military battle, which kept Europe Catholic. And so in thanksgiving to the Blessed Mother and to the Lord, he established the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary on that day, October 7th, the Battle of Lepanto. I'd encourage you to look it up online, read about the battle. It's amazing, even though the Christians were badly outnumbered, some miraculous things occurred during the battle, which gave the smaller fleet the advantage to be able to make a decisive win against the onslaught of the Turks. So that's primarily what he's known for. He died at the age of 68 in the year 1572. He was canonized in 1712. So again, when we look at the 2,000 years of the popes, we see the greatest popes of Leo, Pope Gregory, Pius X, John Paul II. And of course, we have the great saint today, St. Pius V, who gave us so much, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, and the Feast Day of Our Lady of the Rosary, so much that he gave the Church in just 6 years as a Pope. So, and we ask today the intercession of St. Pius V. St. Pius V, pray for us.